Man, good morning. Welcome, everyone. Glad you're with us this morning. It's an exciting day, right? Because Jesus is alive. He's still seated on the throne. He's above all things. There's nothing else that is above him, right? Everything else is in subjection to Jesus. That's truth, right? That's a good day. And today we're going to continue in our series. We're in the Psalms of Ascent, and we've been on this journey for a little while now, and today we're in Psalm 130, so we're nearing the end of this journey, this pilgrimage that we've been on. And what I've had us do is I just like to read two versions, and so you can open up your Bibles if you have it to Psalm 130. I'm going to read first out of the English Standard Version and then the Passion Translation. If you don't have your Bible, you can just listen. Let the words wash over you, right? Words are powerful. Just let it rest on you. It's the Word of God. It's alive, right? Let it take full effect in what it's meant to accomplish. All right, Psalm 130, it says, "Out of the depths I cried to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I will wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." And then again in the Passion Translation, it says, "Lord, I cry out to you out of the depths of my despair. Hear my voice, O God. Answer this prayer and hear my plea for mercy. Lord, if you measured us and marked us with our sins, who would ever have their prayers answered? But your forgiving love is what makes you so wonderful. No wonder you are loved and worshiped. This is why I wait upon you, expecting your breakthrough, for your word brings me hope. I long for you more than any watchman would long for the morning light. I will watch and wait for you, O God, throughout the night. O Israel, keep hoping, keep trusting, keep waiting on the Lord, for he is tender-hearted, kind, and forgiving. He has 1,000 ways to set you free. He himself will redeem you. He will ransom you from the cruel slavery of your sins." It's a cry to Jesus. In our worship time, if you're listening on the podcast, we worshiped about seeking Jesus, calling on the name of Jesus, right? And I don't know where you're at in your life, and maybe you're in a place of despair. Maybe you're in a place where it's really hard right now. Maybe you've been through season after season of that kind of thing, right? And it's like the psalmist is declaring, don't forget God. Call out to God. I love it in the Passion Translation where it says, he has 1,000 ways to set you free, right? He is not limited. We think so small. We think so small. Anyway, we're going to go through it verse by verse, and then I'll make some thoughts for application for us today. But verse 1, it says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord." Verse 2, "O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy." So out of the depths of my soul, out of the depths of my circumstance, right? All that's going on, out of that place, out of the depths of my condition, I cry out to you, Lord. I'm crying to you. I'm looking to you. I'm desperate for you, God. Hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to me. Don't forget me, God, right? Ultimately. Don't be unable to hear my pleas for mercy, my cries for mercy, because all my hope is in you. There's no other one to put my hope in like you. There's no one other to save or rescue me. Verse 3 and 4, it says, "If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared." Right? If the Lord should mark iniquities, if he took an account of all of our sins, all of our faults, If you viewed us through our sins and faults, right, who could stand before him? No one. Not one. Right? No one is righteous apart from him. No one is blameless. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? But there's still hope. Why is there hope? It's hope because who he is. Right? With God, because of him, because of who you are, God, in you there's forgiveness. In our God, there's restoration. In our God, there's redemption. He's not limited. He doesn't look at you and sees your sins, right? Especially if you have a relationship with Jesus, right? I'm moving ahead, but it's hard not to talk about Jesus with this part. Because the reality is with Jesus, he bore all of our sin. So when the Father looks at you, he sees a pure, righteous being. He doesn't see your sin and your iniquities. Jesus bore that on the cross, right? That's good news. So it says that you may be feared, right? Again, Psalm 128, it's all about the fear of the Lord. We did that a couple weeks ago. And just to restate, the fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God. It's not being terrified of who God is. It's not being afraid of doing wrong thing and then being punished. That's not what the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is having a right perspective of God, right? It's awe and wonder for who God really is. It's knowing God, knowing his ways, and resting in the truth of who God is. That's the fear of the Lord. And in our pursuit of walking with him, the key, one of the keys that we learned in walking in the fear of the Lord is staying really, really close to him. If you want to walk in the fear of the Lord, we need to walk right there with him, abiding with him at all times, even when life is really, really hard, like this psalm is referring to, right? So we'll go on in verse 5. It says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope, right? I wait for the Lord. I choose to position myself. My soul waits for him, right? I'm looking and watching for the Lord. I'm anticipating him moving on my behalf. I'm ready to see what he's going to do, right? His mercy manifesting in my life and in my circumstances. And again, this isn't passive waiting. It's not like, oh God, if you'll come, you'll come. No, it's active. It's an aggressive seeking him and pursuing him, positioning ourselves right at his feet. In a couple weeks, we're going to, maybe it's next week, I forget. Like all these psalms mixed with me. But we're going to do Clint's favorite thing about talking about the footstool. It's as close as you can get to God at the footstool. And this is the same kind of thing. It's not passive waiting where you're just way over here, and if God wants to come to me, he comes to me. No, it's active, it's seeking, it's pressing. How close can I get to God? How much can I pursue him? Because I'm anticipating that he's going to move on my behalf out of his goodness and his kindness, out of his mercy and his love. And then it says, in his word, I hope. In his word, the logos and the rhema, right? The written word, all of the holy scriptures, and in the rhema, the now word, the word that he's speaking to you in this moment. It says, in his word, I hope. I'm listening with hope. What's God saying? That's why it's so important to know his voice and to be listening, right? And the good news is Jesus said that his disciples know his voice. They know it well, like the sheep of the shepherd. So I'm listening with hope, anticipation of his goodness coming my way. His word is life to me. I'm anticipating his voice, his perspective. What does he say about this circumstance that I'm going through, this struggle that I'm in? Verse 6, it says, my soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. My soul waits for the Lord. So soul, my mind, will, and emotions is waiting for the Lord. My whole being. I'm not waiting frantically or fearfully. Do you get that? The psalmist is indicating that there's a way of waiting where we don't need to be frantic or fearful. It's we're waiting rather with confidence because our focus is not on ourselves and our situation. Our focus is on God, the one who can do all things, the one who can make a way where there's seemingly no way, right? So we have this confidence, more than watchmen for the morning. Were the watchmen confident the morning was going to come? They're pretty confident. The morning's going to come, right? And they're looking, they're sure of it. The morning will appear, they will see it. That's how my soul waits for the Lord. I'm confident he's going to move on my behalf. I'm confident he's going to make a way in this situation. Yeah, God will move on my behalf and I will see it. God will speak and I will hear it. God will show me what to do and I will know it. It's a confidence. He created you to know him. Do you believe that? He doesn't just plop you in adverse circumstances and says, let's see what he does now. But we do. We all have situations in our life that are difficult and tricky, sometimes even overwhelming or life-threatening. And it's in that place where he comes right alongside you and sits with you in the seemingly overwhelming, what feels overwhelming, what feels out of control. And he comes and he whispers into your ear. And he comes and he shines his light and he says, just take a step over here. And he brings resources your way, places people that you never even knew existed in just a timely way, right? Or he brings finances your way when you exactly need it. That's the God I know. And does it take time? Sometimes when you're waiting for the morning, it takes a long time, right? And that's the reality. I don't understand all of that. But God always shows up. He's always faithful. And he's with you. There's a song that we've been singing lately, "Though I Walk Through the Valley of the Shadow of Death," right? And the picture that God has given me recently is that I'm not just walking through this valley all on my own to get to the other side. And sort of God's over here and then God's over here. God's walking with me through the valley of the shadow of death. He's always by my side. And so if you don't know anything else in your current situation or season, know that God's right there with you. He's right there. He's within touch. The kingdom of God is at hand. I love that. It's at hand. You can touch it. It's real. He's right there. The psalm goes on in verse 7. It says, "O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." O Israel, or children of God, right? Hope in the Lord. Where's your hope? Is your hope in yourself? Is your hope in the government? Is your hope in the economy? Is your hope in your bank account? Is your hope in a person in your life? Your pastor, right? Where's your hope, right? And the psalmist is saying, put your hope in the Lord. Put your hope in the Lord again. Remember to keep your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love. His love never fails. It will never fail you. He is always true. And with the Lord there's plentiful redemption. What's that? It's good to be redeemed, right? What's plentiful redemption? Could it be better than you could think or imagine? Could he actually lead you in something more? Like you're going through this hellhole and he actually has taken you to a place of glory like you've never dreamed or imagined possible, right? That's the God we worship. But so often we just think, oh, I just need to breathe. If I could just get another day, right? And the reality is God has such bigger plans for each of us. His redemption is plentiful, way beyond what we could think or imagine. Far reaching into our lives and into the lives of those that we get to influence. That's the God we worship. He will redeem you with abundance. He will lead you into freedom and abundant life. Jesus said he came to give life and life abundantly. This is what the Lord does for his people. And this is what he does for his children. And ultimately, this is what he does for you. And it's important not to just gloss over that. Because it's easy for us to think of the body of Christ or the children of God, that God loves all his children. But it's really important, especially if you're going through a crisis, to know without a shadow of a doubt that he loves you. It's very personal. He died on the cross for you. He bore all your sin for you, that you could have life. And that will never change. There's nothing you can do that can separate yourself from his love. There's no atrocity or no behavior that can make him love you less. It's just truth. And so this morning, or this season in your life, what are you crying out to God for? Right? You may not be in a huge crisis, or you might be, but is there something you're crying out to God for, even if you're not in a big crisis? Right? What are you waiting on God for? I know for some of us, it's healing, right? My left eye, I'm waiting, I'm seeking, asking, knocking, right? Waiting. Some of us, it's provision. How are we going to pay the bills at the end of the month? Some of us, it's restoration, right? There's relational disconnections, right? Maybe it's in your marriage, or maybe it's with your children or your grandchildren. Maybe it's with siblings or your parents, right? There's restoration that's necessary. Or maybe it's just peace. Pastor Lewis was talking about peace this morning, right? Maybe you're waiting for peace. You just feel out of sorts, right? And you need his peace that passes understanding. I know for me, another area is I've been waiting for increased power to release his kingdom. Like, I know it. I know who he is. I read about him. I've experienced him. I've touched some of his power. But I have situations like he leads me into places where I pray for people, and they're not either fully healed, or it's like I'm expecting more. I'm expecting the creative miracles. I'm expecting the instantaneous healing from depression. Where they're just like they encounter me because the fullness of God is in me, and the encountering of that, just like it was with Jesus, right? And they're completely set free. It's like flip the switch on. The door is open. That's the God we worship. That's Jesus. So I'm contending for that, right? That's one of the areas I'm waiting. I think one of the things that God says to me is, he says, I'm doing a work inside of you. Keep pressing. Keep pressing. Keep asking. Keep moving forward, right? And so that's the word I've heard, right? And even though Andy, who I prayed for in the supermarket the other day, didn't get a new foot, this word helps me keep praying for the next Andy, right? Because there's this sense of, was Andy, did he feel loved? Yeah, he felt loved. Is that God? Yeah, that's God, right? But he didn't get a new foot, right? And so there's this sense of God saying, trust me, I'm doing a work in you. That gives me hope to keep moving forward. Does that make sense? All right, so you hold it in tension. I think sometimes what we're crying out for doesn't manifest how we thought or hoped that it would, right? Or in the timing that you expected it to happen. Like, think of the Israelites. They were crying out to God for the Savior, the Messiah. How many years? I didn't take time to do the math. A long time. They were crying out for the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come, right? And then they were in this situation where the Romans are occupying the nation of Israel. And they're like, oh, God, what are we? Have us in. We definitely need the Savior now. This would be a great time for the Messiah to come. And then Jesus shows up on the scene, and only a few people have eyes and ears to see or recognize him, right? And the reality was that not even one person thought the kingdom would look like what Jesus was presenting the kingdom to look like. Not a one. Nobody thought it would look like that. Nobody was ready for the Messiah to be crucified and raised from the dead. It was so far from their idea of how God would bring the Messiah, the Savior of the world, right? It's the same for you and me. And so some of the questions that are evoked out of this psalm is, if you're waiting on him and you're seeking him and you're crying out to him, how are you crying out? Are you seeking him? Are you pursuing him? Are you carving out time, right? Are you changing up your schedule and the way you do life in order to access more of him. Does that make sense? Are you listening? Are you taking time to listen? Or are you complaining? Right? This really sucks. I can't believe I'm still in this situation. I can't believe it's still going on. Doesn't God care? Doesn't he care about me? He can do all things. How come he's not intervening right now? Is that how you're waiting? Are you questioning if God cares? Are you pursuing others to lament with me? Oh, come lament with me in my situation. And you're surrounding yourself with others and you're sharing about how hard it is, right? It makes sense. It feels like the right thing to do. But the reality is, in that situation, those people aren't able to help you because it's God who you need. He's the source of your freedom and your healing. Sometimes we pursue others to seek God on our behalf. Like we're not confident that I can hear the voice of the Lord. Will you go seek God for me? Because I need to know what he's saying. And yet the reality is you were created to hear the voice of the Lord. And so the invitation of Psalm 130 is go to God. Just keep going to God. If you don't know how to do it, you can ask people, will you help me, right? So pastors are good for that. Probably most people in this house are good for that, right? The reality is that we have experience going to God. And so sometimes we just need some training in it. But between you and him, you can ask the Holy Spirit. You can say, Holy Spirit, what should I do? And then listen. And then do what he says to do. Right? How are you waiting? Are you waiting with hope? Does this represent you? I don't know when. I don't know how. But I know with confidence he's going to come through. That's what it means to wait with hope. Because your hope is in him. You don't need to know the details. You don't need to know the method or exactly how he's going to do it. But when you're waiting with hope, you're just confident he's going to move on your behalf. You're not going to miss it. It's going to be right there for you to see. Like the watchman waiting for the morning, it's an active waiting. Right? The alternative is passive waiting, just sort of settling. Trying to avoid being disappointed again, right? It's a choice, but it's not what the psalmist is inviting you into. Psalm 130 is inviting us into an active waiting, a pursuing, a seeking in the God of hope. Is your hope in his word? Whose voice are you listening to as you're in this situation or circumstance, right? Are you intentionally positioning yourself to hear him? Again, are you carving out time, saying, I'm going to give you these 3 minutes, God? Right? Sometimes that's all we have. We have busy lives. I'm going to take another break at my lunch, and I'm just going to listen. And even if I don't hear anything, I know I'm in your presence. And then in the evening, I'm going to listen again because I'm confident that you will speak in a way that I can hear. Right? Are you waiting with hope for his word, with faith that he will speak in a manner that you can hear? And then one of the things that sort of is not necessarily in the psalm, but it was brought to my attention with the Holy Spirit, is the concept of stewarding when you're not in crisis. And so it's interesting that, often we only seek God when we're in crisis, like when it feels overwhelming. That's when we go to God and we're like, I need peace, help. And yet, I think sometimes a key is to steward, say it's peace, to learn how to steward peace when you're not in crisis. And one of the people who spoke about this a few years ago, I think, was Wendy Backlund. And so she's going to be with us next Sunday, so that'll be fun. But she talked about this sense of if you're not familiar with peace and hosting the substance of peace when you're not in crisis, it's going to be really hard to access peace when you are in crisis. And so it's sort of in a place when you're not in a crisis, say, God, I want to learn more about what is peace really like? What's true peace? I want to feel it. I want to know it. I want to experience it. And that way, when you're in that crisis, you can go back to that place. Oh, I'm really familiar with peace. I know how to access peace. Does that make sense? And so a lot of work happens in the in-betweens, but so often we live from crisis to crisis that we're always stuck. And I think we're not meant to live that way. And so there's a way of how do we steward peace? How do we steward hope? How do we steward faith, right? When we're not in a crisis where we're desperate for it. How do we steward intimacy with him, right? I think the last real concept that jumps out of Psalm 130 is this concept of iniquities. How many of you guys like talking about iniquities? That's fun for us, right? Yeah. But the psalm speaks of it, right? The iniquities of Israel, or the people of God, the children of God, the psalmist himself, right? Again, we live on this side of the cross. So the truth is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a human being who ever was or who ever will be that has not sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But through the cross, Jesus paid for all our iniquities, for all mankind, for all time. Right? So whether you believe that or not, or whether you access that or not, doesn't mean it's not true. What he accomplished on the cross was for every single person from the beginning of Adam all the way to the very last person on earth, whoever that will be. He bore that person's sin. He bore your sin. He bore my sin on the cross. And it's finished. His work is finished. And it was sufficient. It's not lacking in any way, shape, or form. And so Jesus declares that you and I as believers in him and as disciples of Jesus are righteous by his blood. It's by his blood. It's not by your good works or your good actions. It's only by his blood, right? And the enemy loves it when you and I make our home in the sin-shame cycle, right? When we get caught up in, oh, sin, and oh, I feel terrible for my sin, oh. And the reality is you're a new creation, right? You're righteous because of what Jesus already did. Does it mean you don't deal with your sin? No, you deal with your sin, right? And sometimes you need to bring that back before the Lord. But if you're living in a place of sin, shame, and that's all you do, right? What a miserable existence. What did Jesus pay for? Is that what he paid for? That you would grovel till death and then in heaven you'll be free? I don't think so. It was finished. And so we are able to access freedom, just like Jesus, when he walked on earth in partnership with the Holy Spirit. He was tempted in every way that mankind is tempted, but he did not sin. So it's possible for us to live not sinning. But if we do sin, we don't need to beat ourselves up because we recognize the truth that Jesus already paid for it. His blood was sufficient. And so you deal with it and you move on, right? The faster, the better. You gain nothing by beating yourself up. Nothing by sitting in shame. Because he bore your shame on the cross as well. Right? It's good news. It really is. The opposite would be abiding in Jesus and his word that declares you to be free. Right? Live in that cycle. Embracing your identity as a new creation and a receptor of grace and a child of God. 24/7, that's who you are. Whether you sin or not, that's who you are. Even in the act of sinning, that's who you are. That's hard for many to believe. But his blood is so powerful. The righteousness of who you are because of what he did is so real that even in the act of sinning, you're still righteous. That's a hard one. Because Jesus bore your sin on the cross. It's already been paid for. Jesus' redemption for you and me is sufficient. It's plentiful. It's sure and it's true. And so we can approach God with confidence. Right? If you're in a current situation and you're beating yourself up and you feel like it's all my fault that God's not responding to me or answering or intervening in my situation, that's a lie from the pit of the enemy. It's a lie. We can approach the Father with confidence because of what Jesus did on the cross. This God of hope who radically loves you and cares for you. Right? So I want to encourage you this morning to follow Jesus as he leads you into greater measures of abundant life. And it's usually one step at a time. So just ask him, what's the next step? And then wait on him till you hear the next step. And the reality is, if he gives you another step, he's going to give you grace to actually take that step. It's how the kingdom works. He doesn't set you up for failure. And so wait with hope and expectation in this God that we worship, the one true God. There's no one like him. The one who's seated on the throne above it all. The only God of hope. The only God of love. Wait on him with hope and expectation. Let's pray. Jesus, you know every single person in this room. You know every single person who will listen to this message on the podcast. And you know their situations that they're in right now. You know the season that they're in. You know all the things that are on their mind and going through their hearts as this message is being given, right? For some, this is an easy message, and for others, it's a really hard message. It's a challenging message. And I pray that for all, that you would just draw near to them, draw near to me, and we'd feel your presence closer than we've ever known. We'd have a greater assurance that you're with us and you're for us, and that we can approach you, that you invite us to approach you, to seek you, to bring all of our cares to your feet, and to wait upon you, to ask you to share your perspective and to listen, and that you've created us to hear your voice. I pray that you would give us increased confidence in our ability to hear you. Give us increased boldness in attaching faith to what we hear, that we could then live it out and continue moving forward. And I pray that in the midst of this psalm, that we would be like the watchman waiting for the morning with confidence and expectation that the morning is going to come. And that this current season or situation that we're in is not the end or the final say. It's not the final story. Because we believe in the God of redemption, the God who makes a way, the God who can accomplish all things, even when it seems impossible. And that's who you are. And so, Lord, I pray above all that if nothing else gets taken from this message, that it would be a refreshing of seeking you, of looking to you again. Even if we've been in a situation for years upon years, looking to you again and just locking our eyes on you and saying, Jesus, I look to you. I put my hope, given all this stuff, in you once again. Come and move on my behalf, in your mercy, in your grace, in your forgiveness, in your love, in your power. Come and move on my behalf again. And I pray even now, Lord, that those who have been waiting for breakthrough, would you move across this auditorium and you would release breakthrough in the lives of the people that have been contending for breakthrough. Would you show up in powerful ways today? That there would just be significant encounters that happen, significant provision that happens, significant healing that takes place. And we just call for a move of God in this place and in the lives of the people of grace. And any visitors, we just ask for you to move in power today. Yeah, accelerate the process that you have us in. For your glory, but we trust you. And we trust your timing. We trust your wisdom. We trust your movement. And we trust your love. And I pray that you would allow us to rest in your love this morning, deeper and deeper, full confidence that you're with us and for us, and you're fighting on our behalf. Yeah. We just ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.